At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
It's up.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me, the Riverland Roofing Studios, that little house up top, Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. It is Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. I'm Ben Garrett. He's Zach Berry. We both write for the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and affiliative on 3. Sign up today for the low, low price of $1 to talk all things Ole Miss all day, every day at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com. Zachary, how we doing?
We're good. I've managed to dodge whatever stomach bug has been going around our neighborhood. So the last 8 to 10 hours in this house have been pretty challenging. But look, we persevere. We got to dig deep. We got to really show some grit. This is what you do. This is what you spend all those hours in the weight room for. So. We're good. It was a nice stomach bug dentist trip combo. But both kids are at school today. So look, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, Ben. This house is built different. We're good. Oh, we're good.
10 toes down, standing on business is the Zach Berry household. At Zach_Berry on Twitter.
We don't quote Eli Drinkwitz in this house.
Well, you know, that's what my oldest daughter, Gracie, the 12-year-old behind me, that's what she always says. Whenever my mom, or her mom, not my mom, my wife, Emily, says something in response to me that's kind of like a nice little hold up, Gracie will go, oh, 10 toes down, standing on business. And I'm thinking,
okay.
Yeah. Well, she
way cooler when she says it.
She's not a sports fan, though, so she didn't get it from Eli Drinkwitz. When did this become like a part of the everyday kid lexicon? I don't know. But I hear it every single day, and you hear here on Talk of Champions every single time. Our friends at Riverland Roofing, thank you to Billy and Scott, their family. Continue to pray for them as they go through some stuff, but a lot of things in the new year. Right now, this day, as we're coming off the weekend, some movement has happened in the portal. Ole Miss football is in its offseason, well off into it, but they continue to pursue all kinds of different options to build out the roster. What's the biggest development since we last talked in regards to where Ole Miss is in its roster building efforts, Zachary?
Yeah, so since we last spoke, I believe Ole Miss added Trey Hall, the Mississippi Gulf Coast running back. He was a guy that had been, you know, I know we love these buzzwords, the silent commit. Once he received the Ole Miss offer, he took a visit rather quickly. And, you know, the meeting went well with the coaching staff, and they think that he can bring something to the room. So he jumped in and went public with it over the weekend. And then we also had on Monday. So we were recording this on a Tuesday. So this was yesterday. The long-awaited quarterback dilemma has been solved as Ole Miss added former four-star Pierce Clarkson to the room. It's kind of the you know kind of what we were saying Ole Miss is going to have to do, right? They were going to have to, you know, go after someone who was willing to come in and learn, willing to understand the role, you know, understand the assignment. And Pierce Clarkson is that. He redshirted at Louisville and then played sparingly this season. So interesting take as far as the frame. There's some intrigue there with the talent. Dual threat guy, played at a highly talented high school program out in California. He went, played at St. John Bosco, won a ton of games out there with the Braves. So that is something that I think is a plus for this guy that's played a lot of high level football in high school, and then obviously was in the ACC program up in Louisville. And then also, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention his father, Steve Clarkson, runs it's probably the quarterback retreat and Elite 11 are the two upper echelon camps for quarterbacks. And so he's out there working with NFL, college, high school, middle school, like he does it all. So certainly doesn't hurt there that you pick up the son of, you know, arguably one of the best quarterback coaches, gurus, whatever you want to call him. So two big commits there. Two big needs, and then I'm sure we'll get into the secondary movement that we've seen over the last 24 hours.
Yep. I had to switch the banner because it said the flagship from when Zach last was on StreamYard, and I didn't even notice that. Talk of Champions is brought to you by Riverland. This is Talk of Champions.
Energy. Yeah,
it's all the same thing. We're all together in this at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and Affiliate of Ole 3. Yeah, they solved the quarterback issue, if you want to call it that, problem. It wasn't really a problem. It was more of just at a need to be addressed with a dual threat quarterback from Louisville. They went the gimmick route, which we kind of called and expected them to do. They really entertained as many candidates for the quarterback addition that they possibly could, including potential starting options to compete with Austin Simmons next year. But ultimately, they settle here on the Louisville quarterback. He adds the rushing component that Austin Simmons doesn't have quite in his arsenal like Jackson Dart. He is not the runner of Jackson Dart. Now, not to say that they're going to immediately incorporate this player into the offense in that way, but it, you know, running quarterback is a big part of what Lane Kiffin does offensively. So if Austin Simmons can't handle that end of it, or if they're not as productive in that end of it, it has to be a part of their offense, and that's where this kind of makes sense. They do have their quarterback, quote, of the future in A.J. Maddox. They like him a lot. We've been saying that all along as well in terms of what he can be as a backup quarterback. So I don't think it was necessarily finding a guy who – and I mentioned this on a Talk of Champions months ago – finding a guy that will come in and push Austin Simmons or be a threat to take his job like a Spencer Sanders or a Walker Howard were when they signed those two players to come in and compete with Jackson Dart. This one was more about addressing true need and doing it in a cost-efficient way that allows them to also continue to build out a roster that is going to take more than just a quarterback to get back to that 8, 9, 10 win threshold once you put it all together. So it makes sense as far as what they needed. They went for the upside play, but that running component is important because when you're looking at an Ole Miss offense led by Austin Simmons, he doesn't have the same kind of running ability necessarily as Jackson Dart. Not to say that he won't be an effective runner in time, but that's just not necessarily what his game is. This is a 6'4 left-hander that likes to sling it, but the running component is an important part.
Yeah, you know, I think it's also tied into the 2026 class. And I just put out a piece that you can read at the Ole Miss Spirit on some of the top names Ole Miss is going after in the 26 class. I think this coming up cycle for high school is where I think Kiffin and the staff are going to go after, you know, the next guy. And that's not to say that A.J. Maddox or Pierce Clarkson can't be it. But I think this 26 cycle, with how deep it is at quarterback, Ole Miss is going to be very aggressive in trying to get someone to come in and compete right away with those two. You can read that piece at omspirit.com. I think there were five guys that I highlighted that Ole Miss are recruiting hard and are really wanting to bring in a guy to compete right away. I think that it's hard to be a true freshman to come in and play at quarterback, but they are expecting, they're recruiting a high caliber, talent guy to come in and compete because we know what Kiffin likes to do, not just quarterback. He does it at every position. They're bringing in a lot of running backs. Last year, they brought in a ton of offensive linemen. They're just wanting to create that competition day in, day out, kind of a la what Nick Saban did at Alabama and what Kirby Smart is now doing at Georgia. Kiffin learned under Saban, and he's wanting to generate that culture, that vibe at practice. A lot of the old Alabama guys would talk about it. Hey, we chose to come to Alabama because we want to go against the best in practice every day. And I think that resonated with, a lot of the younger guys on the defensive side with, Walter Nolan, Prince Umamiel, and Jared Ivey, J.J. Pegues, those guys in practice, the Cam Franklins, the William Eccles, the Jam Browns, those guys, hey, I want to come because I want to go against that guy and compete. So, yeah, I think it was kind of twofold where it was a perfect storm where it made a lot of sense. He can come in and learn and compete with AJ Maddox for that number two spot, but then also it's not going to hamstring you when you're trying to get a guy in 2026.
It very much feels like when Ole Miss had Shea Patterson stepping up to start at quarterback and went and found a player that could complement, but also maybe has some upside that is untapped into, because he wasn't a highly recruited guy, was Jordan Tiamu, and they went and got him because honestly, they pursued a number of different options, but he was the one that was available to them that fit the price structure that they were looking for. And this is very much like that. Not to say that Pierce is going to come in here and be Jordan and take Austin Simmons' job, but what it does crystallize, in my opinion, is that Austin Simmons is the guy for this year for sure, but the next 2 years, ideally. If he goes out there and performs up to the upside and lottery ticket nature next year, he could very well go pro after next year because he is or would be draft eligible. I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's got a 2-year run here to be a really good quarterback. But you're going to have to live with the ups and downs that come with a first year starter, like you do with Jackson Dart. But Jackson Dart still won 8 games, and I fully expect Austin Simmons to be around that area competing for the playoff. Maybe have a couple of losses, but one game will be the difference between winning 9-10 games, being a playoff team, or being left out. I could certainly see them in contention for that, but it does crystallize, I think, this move specifically that, Austin Simmons is that guy, which brings me to last week when I reported about Jackson Dart applying for the waiver with the 5th year of eligibility. I did not do a good job, hands up, that's on me, of contextualizing that. Yes, he did, at least I heard that and had it confirmed through multiple sources that he did apply for the waiver, but it was less about Jackson Dart is coming back then Jackson Dart is covering all of his bases. Like if something were to happen in the draft process, maintaining eligibility, all that kind of thing. So a couple of things can be true. One, he could have applied for the waiver, but two, he's still not coming back unless the bottom falls out in his process. But I didn't do a good job of laying that out in the story, and it came across pretty clickbaity, and that's on me. Hands up, that's on me. That wasn't the intent. I wrote it pretty quick, but that's no excuse. Point being is that it is something that you have to note, but Jackson Dart is not coming back next year, but it does show you the difference in college football where, hey, if Ole Miss was desperate enough and didn't think Austin Simmons was the guy and was looking at next year and going, oh, I don't know, if Jackson weren't a top 3-round pick, which I think he's probably going to end up being because of the way he finished, and I think he's going to do well in the process, and considering the draft class around him, top 3-round pick, so you go, but Will Levis made $950,000 this year as the starting quarterback for Tennessee as a 2nd-round pick, and Miami just signed Carson Beck for a year and $4 million. So the world is different. The culture is different. If Ole Miss wanted to, if it didn't believe, like, all of these things have to be reported on, but adding the context necessary, I don't think Ole Miss is in a place where it's going to go drop $4 million because Cam Ward is leaving and it wants to continue rolling along. They believe they have that in Austin Simmons. So that's kind of laying out what happened last week. Trey Harris, there's just some concern about his injury stuff, but he's going pro. There were some rumors about him potentially trying to give himself that fallback parachute option as well in case anything didn't go the way maybe he'd hoped for in the draft process. So that kind of touches where the quarterback situation is. Ole Miss has seemingly solved it, but I do find it interesting that they ended up on the developmental track or more of the gimmicky track of how he could, this player Pierce, help them next year with Austin Simmons as the quarterback. I think also it tells you about the rest of the roster building moving forward, right? They still have money to spend. They still are operating with a certain cap number, but they did take big swings at certain spots, like that quarterback from Penn State who transferred, ended up signing with Missouri for $1.5 million. They went out after players like this to try to kind of add competition in that way to the room. But as Walker Jones, the head of the Grove Collective, said on this podcast weeks ago now, the numbers for quarterbacks this cycle specifically were absolutely insane, which isn't probably a surprise because it's quarterback, but that also tells you why they ended up in this place, because of the numbers, where they stand with a quarterback they like a lot and a number two quarterback that they believe has real upside and they like a lot, and trying to stay within the parameters of building out another playoff contender, knowing that they're not just going and signing one guy that's going to be the difference like maybe last year was with Princely and Walter Nolan and guys like that.
Yeah, and like you said, the numbers have been fairly high for quarterbacks, and you know, Ole Miss was going to have to really thread the needle anyway. But I haven't talked to Lane Kiffin or Charlie Weiss or anybody in the building specifically about this. I think Ole Miss is pretty settled on Austin Simmons is your guy for 2025, and I don't think that's not like a hot take or anything, but. Yeah, I mean, if you can bring in someone that is a, you know, break glass in case of emergency guy that is solid, then yeah, you got to try. You know, you mentioned the Bo Prigley, you know, he was wanting to go start. You know, he left Penn State in the middle of a college football playoff run because he knew he had to go out there and take visits. You know, Anthony Calandria was an interesting one, a guy that started at Virginia, but it's still kind of a work in progress. He's young, but would have made a lot of sense because he's a dual threat guy. He's versatile and he's still young. You know, they went after a guy like Mikey Keene, who is older, has, you know, a G5 quarterback that's put up a lot of numbers and played a lot of football. But I think that he was going to come in to be a Spencer Sanders type. So it was always going to be difficult. Ole Miss, you know, if you're going to just land on a guy that's a former four-star son of a quarterback coach and a guy that played at one of the best high school programs in the country and was signed to a Power 5 or Power 4 team, then yeah, I mean, that's a hell of a, you know, a hell of a thing to stumble into. So, look, it people say it on our board all the time, Ben, and I agree. Kiffin's going to figure out quarterback. Like, just everybody take a breath. And it's going to be fine. He has shown over the years that he will figure it out. So it looks like they have figured it out. And I'm excited to see what that room looks like in the spring and how that competition shakes out for that number two spot. Because, look, we've said it. We've been beating the drum for the last 4 or 5 months. The staff really likes AJ Maddox. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it on the field in person. I mean, the dude whips it around. I mean, he's got some legitimate arm talent. So this isn't like, we got to go find somebody to put behind Austin Simmons. Like, no, they believe in AJ Maddox. And there was a reason Ole Miss went after him hard and flipped him from Texas A&M. So, yeah, I mean, I think the future is bright for Ole Miss quarterback. And I'm excited to see what this room looks like and then what they do in 2026.
As you see on your screen, for all your roofing needs, it's Riverland Roofing, the little house up top, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297 is the number to text or call. For all your roofing needs, few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss in the name, image, NIL, image and likeness space than Riverland Roofing, so our thanks to them. You touched on something that I think is quite important in regards to the quarterbacks, and it also kind of brings into focus how they're approaching it moving forward. They're going to go get a high school quarterback, because last cycle they skipped a high school quarterback because they were going to get a transfer to come in and compete with Austin Simmons, to compete with AJ Maddox. I don't necessarily think that they're completely done. I mean, if the right candidate emerged, right, in the portal that could answer all of those questions about the present, the future, the past, all those things, then by all means they do it. But I think the choice it's done for now, and 2026 is the year of signing another quarterback of the future, kind of like what they did with AJ Maddox. So these names that are emerging, names that are going to, because quarterbacks pop earlier than every other position in high school recruiting. You're going to see if they're going to sign a quarterback this cycle, or sign the guy they want, I should say, then they'll have that kid hopefully committed by June. They would like to have their quarterback done, so then you build it out from there. That's one of the few remaining, like, old school recruiting approaches that still remain, as the college football world and recruiting specifically has been flipped on its ear. But there are other positions that still have to be built out, specifically cornerback, because now you have the Cooley kid from NC State who almost brought in for a visit, committing to LSU, almost as a finalist for Thaddeus Dixon. Who do you think is the best candidate, or is most on the precipice then, or maybe the top candidate right now? Who is closest to popping? Because Ole Miss does have an obvious need opposite Jalen Braxton at field corner, and they just lost one in Cooley to LSU.
Yeah, and then Brandon Cisse commits to South Carolina last night. Look, sometimes even portal recruiting, sometimes it's not very hard to figure out. Ole Miss really liked Cisse and Thaddeus Dixon. Lane Kiffin went to Sumter, South Carolina last week to see Brandon Cisse. And him committing to South Carolina, and this isn't that, look, everybody calm down. This isn't me saying Ole Miss passed on him. This is Ole Miss was in a fight with South Carolina to get him. He opted to stay close to home, play at South Carolina. Could mean that Ole Miss potentially flips some attention to Thaddeus Dixon after, you know, Kiffin went to see him. He had the visit. Nothing was really moving. You know, two things can be, you know, true at once, right? Where they're like, hey, we need to start making sure we got all of our T's crossed and our I's dotted with Thaddeus Dixon if Brandon Cisse goes to South Carolina. Now that he has signed with South Carolina, I think all signs point to Thaddeus Dixon for Ole Miss. I heard a lot of positive buzz from his visit over the weekend. He was hanging out with Kelvin Bolden at the basketball game. He was courtside. Everything that I heard from his conversations with the staff were very positive. And he, as far as I know, and I have yet to see anyone, including our very own Pete Nakos, EJ Holland, Clayton Safey, and the guys over at the Michigan On Three site were never able to confirm if Thaddeus Dixon took his visit. So I think it's safe to say he didn't. So right now, Ole Miss has, you know, they're kind of in the lead. They got the last visit. You know, what's he going to do? Is he going to go somewhere else? I know that Pete Nakos reported this morning that there were some rumblings he might try to take a visit to Texas, but I heard that a decision could possibly come this week, and the Ole Miss buzz is pretty palpable, and Ole Miss seems pretty confident right now. And look, the sales pitch is pretty strong, Ben, right? I mean, you bring Trey Amos in for 1 year, and he damn well might be a first-round pick. So the development and, you know, working with Pete Golding and Brian Brown and that defensive staff and really, really putting together a hell of a final campaign in college, he's probably going to be a late first-round pick, early second round. And, you know, hey, Thaddeus Dixon, come over here and just pick up where he left off and do the same thing. So I think that's where Ole Miss is at right now as far as, you know, who is possibly next to pop. You know, there were some, you know, rumblings about Emmanuel Pregnan, the SC offensive lineman. He never took a visit. He committed to Oregon this morning. So that's kind of what you got to do, right? I mean, we say that all the time with high school dudes, follow the visits. Typically in portal recruiting, like if there is not a visit, it's almost a 0% chance that anything's happening. You know, barring there being a no contact tag and, you know, there already being some back channeling. If God doesn't visit, it's probably not going to happen. So that's something to keep an eye on when you're looking around at who could be next or who Ole Miss is prioritizing. It's pretty clear that if they're taking visits, then they're somewhat of a priority, or at least, hey, we gotta take this guy through the interview process and see if he's worth it and he's a good fit.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Cali. With ceasefires blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at CSpire, customer inspired.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I wonder what happened with Percy Lewis, because I don't remember his visit or anything like that. The offensive lineman, like, all I saw is Percy pop-ups committed, and that's the one name I had not heard. I hadn't heard that name for a couple years after Ole Miss lost out for him. I think when he was coming out of Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College, and he ends up, I think, going to state. That's a depth piece, depth option for the offensive line. You add as many of those players as you can. But there is it has to be – you know, known and understood as you talk through all these options and possibilities. We don't know everything. Things pop up that this wild, wild west nature, you could see additions like a Percy Lewis who you did not see coming. I didn't see the JUCO running back coming because there is, well, we missed this guy on Tuesday. Wednesday, they're moving on so-and-so, and by Thursday, they're getting a commitment. The way things happen, the way things play out, moves very quickly. But Percy Lewis was an interesting name because, again, this is a player that Ole Miss wanted a couple years ago like crazy. And they were talking to him about coming in and starting immediately. Hasn't had that kind of impact at his previous two stops. But when you're looking at guys like him, like the JUCO running back, the running back from Akron, the under-the-radar pieces, right? We know about Jalen Braxton. We know about Luke Haas. We know about a number of different players that Ole Miss has added in this class that are expected to come in, step in, and be instant impact guys. But of all these lower, not tier, but certainly lower recognition guys that aren't getting the same run and aren't the reason why necessarily Ole Miss has got the number three portal class in the country, according to On3, who's your favorite? Who's a guy that you're really bullish on of all these underrated signees that are filled out for depth that could step up and be even more for Ole Miss as a playoff contender next year?
Yeah, and I will say, just to you mentioned Percy Lewis, and look, he snuck in and committed, and I even forgot to mention him at the top of the show. You know, he's a guy that's from Mississippi. He visited Ole Miss, went to see him when he was coming out of JUCO. So, yeah, there was familiarity there. So he knew about Oxford. He knew about the coaching staff and Ole Miss. So, yeah, that was probably, you know, I don't know, maybe he did sneak in for a visit, but if he didn't, he didn't really need to. But Yeah, look at this class, which, by the way, number two now after the Clarkson addition. So back up to number two spot. Yeah, looking at maybe an under the radar type guy. I'll go one on offense. I'll go one on defense. You mentioned Luke Haas. I think Trace Bruckler is one that's underrated because I do think that he is going to allow Ole Miss to be versatile at the tight end spot. He's a guy that is a very willing blocker and someone that is exceptional at that. I think that's going to allow Ole Miss to put Luke Haas out in the slot or put him out wide. I think same thing with Daquan Wright. Both of them are very athletic guys that can kind of get out in space and act like bigger wide receivers, especially Haas. And that's not a knock on Wright. He's just bigger than Haas. But I think that that's a very strategic and schematic addition. I know a lot of people were scratching their head, you know, why is Ole Miss getting another tight end? I think that that's something that Ole Miss is looking to do and also something to do with, you know, helping the run game. You know, and it's, again, not a knock on the other tight ends, but hey, just have another tight end to where he can stay in and block, and then maybe the other guys can go out for routes, you know, play action, you know, use a lot of, you know, eye candy and stuff to throw different looks at people. Bruckler is a guy that I think is going to really help the offense. And look, he's no slouch either. Like, he can go out and catch passes too. So I think that's just going to give you another weapon in the passing game and then also in the run game. On defense, probably a guy that doesn't get talked about enough is probably Antonio Kite, just because the you know, the stat sheet doesn't jump out to you. You know, he didn't put up crazy numbers at Alabama or Auburn, but this was a guy that was a high level basketball player in high school, great athlete. And look, if Alabama signs you, I know that they're a bust and I know people don't work out. He signed with Alabama when Nick Saban was there. And if we know one thing about Nick Saban, outside of he doesn't like Shane Gillis's jokes, he is going to, if he signs you to play defensive back for him, there's something to it. And I think he has great size at 6'1", 180. So he's got a lot of position versatility. He could play some safety. He could probably come down and play some nickel corner. He could probably play to the boundary. But I think there's something to him being a very good athlete and someone that has been in a Nick Saban system and has played in the SEC. So I think that that's a very underrated signee right now because of, you know, people keep asking about, well, what about Thaddeus Dixon? What about the secondary? They're going to add more. I think the pieces that they have right now are really solid. And I think Kite's going to be someone that you're gonna see on the field a lot. You're gonna hear his name a lot out there making plays and really helping this defense.
Yeah, they're definitely gonna continue to add at cornerback and safety. I mean, I think they could be adding there as late as the summer, if the right names emerge. But again, you get a 10-day window in April. That's the second window. The portal's open now for players who were on postseason teams, and they get a window once those seasons come to an end to, you know, explore their options. So it's not going to stop. But if one position, if it's not Thaddeus Dixon, it's somebody. They're going to keep adding at corner and safety specifically. But do know that they are very high on TJ Banks, that second-year corner that played some in the Gator Bowl, number 19. They really like TJ Banks. They like Nick Cole. There are some in-house options that will go along with these external options that they're bringing in to essentially do as Trey Amos did with Jalen Braxton, step in and start, yeah. Or if it's a Thaddeus Dixon. It is notable that they missed on Cisse, that they missed on Cooley, because both of those players could have helped them, and they need bodies in the room. But you don't count the misses. You only count the hits, because in portal recruiting, it's a absolute crapshoot. If Ole Miss gets a Thaddeus Dixon, which is not a sure thing, but if they were to get him, he could go back to Washington. He could go to Michigan. There are a number of options for Thaddeus Dixon. But if he did come to Ole Miss, that solves it right there. But there are some players, like you mentioned, Antonio Kite, in the class already that have some positional versatility and some upside that you like a lot. For me, the defensive signee so far that I think can make an immediate impact, pick any of the three linebackers, Jaden Yates, Taj Chambers. I mean, they've got some real talent to replace Chris Poupall, but one guy, Jaden Yates, for me, that sticks out because of the production at Marshall, and also considering where he's ranked. He's almost in, like, I think he's in the 900s as far as transfer ranking, according to On3, which doesn't really line up with his production and taking a step up from a lower level going at Marshall and now going to Ole Miss. I think that kid could be an absolute monster. And then on the offensive end, pick a running back for me. That could be it. I was going to go with the backup tight end too, because look, man, I love me some 13 personnel. I love me some 13 personnel, especially if you can use a tight end or two as big wide receivers, and Ole Miss has two of those with Daquan Wright and also Luke Haas. And I think you'll see a lot of Luke Haas split out, like you mentioned, and that's the modern NFL, a big tight end. But that's another one that I had not heard anything about until he committed. So Zach was on that one. I was not, but we will stay on top of all of this stuff as best we can at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of On3, all day, every day. I will be back tomorrow, maybe with Zach, maybe with someone else, maybe by myself, for an all-new edition of Talk of Champions, brought to you, as always, by Riverland Roofing. Zachary?
I do have to ask, when do you anticipate Jerry Jones announcing Deion Sanders as the new Cowboys coach?
Yeah, don't let it fool you. I just like this hat. It's probably one of my favorite hats I've ever owned, and I love the old Bears insignia there. I've been a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan my entire life, but, like, dude, the way Jerry handled that, first of all, it's the most quintessential Cowboys way to handle something. Number one, you didn't go by the timeline that could actually help you. You had a week of a bye week to interview Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, and you skipped that and didn't let Mike McCarthy even talk to the Bears because you operate on your own timeline. You operate with your own salary cap when
you knew you were firing him. You still didn't let him.
Yeah. Derrick Henry, his cap hit was $5 million this year. You had $20 million in cap flexibility. You could have signed them if you wanted to. The way the Cowboys operate are unlike any other organization in football. It is purely a marketing blitz. It's purely everything is wrestling. So in that respect, knowing that the Cowboys haven't been to an NFC championship game, let alone a Super Bowl, since 1996, and I've lived through all of it. I lived through Tony Romo's fumble snap against the Seahawks. I lived through the Dez catch, non-catch rule. I lived through all of it, seeing the best Cowboys team still fall short. At this point, they're not anywhere close to those teams. So, yes, lean into the entertainment factor then. Because Kellen Moore is not going to win you a Super Bowl, your first Super Bowl in 20 years.
No.
Make it Deion. That's fine with me, because Dak is your quarterback, and maybe Deion can get into Jerry's ear at 80 whatever years old better than anyone else ever has before. I just want to see Jonathan Mingo, who they traded a fourth round pick for, which is pretty lofty considering that he hadn't done anything yet despite being a top three round pick by the Panthers. If Jonathan Mingo can become a good wide receiver in the NFL for my Dallas Cowboys, those are the kind of things I root for now. I don't root for a team that's going to make the NFC Championship game that has a real opportunity to go win a Super Bowl. I root for individual stories. Like, I really hope Jonathan Mingo works out, because I covered Jonathan Mingo. I talk to him regularly, and I would love to see him be the next great Ole Miss wide receiver in the NFL, to be that next A.J. Brown that many thought he could be and that the Cowboys traded a fourth-round pick for. But no, Deion's probably just going to get a raise. That's what's going to happen. He's going to get a raise, stay at Colorado, and, you know, Jerry will go hire Cliff Kingsbury. You know, it would be actually fun if he hired Lane. But there's no way that Lane and Jerry would ever be able to coexist. And Lane's happy. I'm not trying to start something or anything here. Yeah. I'm just thinking,
relax.
I have to weigh, one, as an Ole Miss media person, what's the truth? The Cowboys aren't going to talk to Lane Kiffin. But as a hardcore Dallas Cowboys fan, and knowing how unique and miserable it is to work for Jerry Jones, who is a dominant personality like a Deion that is also offensive-minded, because that's where all the money's poured into with CD and Dak, Lane could, he'd be the one to say, Jerry goes, oh, I want to do this. No, I'm going to do this. But that's not happened. That's a pipe dream. And I would rather Lane Kiffin stay as the head coach at Ole Miss for as long as he wants to. Because Ole Miss is always going to win 8, 9, 10 games with Lane Kiffin as his head coach. Point is that do not expect the Cowboys process. No one cares about this. But no one expect a normal process with the Cowboys, because you never get normalcy. You get insanity. A circus-like atmosphere. It's all about stealing headlines. So, of course, it'll be Deion or it'll be whoever. But I fully expect to be back here next year talking about why Dak is now 2-5 or whatever it is in the playoffs, even though it's not Dak's fault that his number two wide receiver was a developmental kid from South Alabama, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm trying. It's a weird time right now for football because so much is happening, but games on the field are not great. Like the NFL, those games this weekend weren't great. They were just as bad as those college football playoff games. And yeah. I'll be honest, I've enjoyed the college football playoff has been exactly what I wanted it to be.
So that's what I was going to bring up.
I mean, it's been perfect.
Since we're already talking about the inferior product, aka the NFL.
Yep.
I did have an insane stat.
Okay.
Since 1996, so 29 years, who do you think, which NFL franchise has the most 1,000-yard rushers?
Since when?
Since 1996.
The most 1,000-yard rushers. I have no idea.
It is the Tennessee Titans.
I almost called that because of Derrick Henry. For his first 6 years, historic, you know, and then,
23,000-yard rushers. Insane. So the closest. That means
Ashton Gentry's going first overall to Will Levis.
The closest to the Titans is 18,000-yard rushers, and that's the Bengals, Vikings, and Steelers. Cowboys are right there at 17.
Yeah.
I saw this the other day, and I was like, hold on, what? And then somebody did the research. So you had, now I've lost it. But yeah, I mean, you had Eddie George, Chris Johnson, Derrick Henry, DeMarco Murray, Lindell White, like all these dudes that you kind of forget. Like, oh, yeah, the Titans used to have some dudes.
It's Chris Johnson. Like, Chris Johnson was a phenomenon, man, out of East Carolina.
If he had stayed healthy, he would have been a lot of fun for a long time.
Long time. I mean, he was Alvin Kamara before Alvin Kamara. I mean, Chris Johnson was the best.
All right. Eddie George had 7. Mm. Chris Johnson had 6,000-yard seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry had 5. And then you had Tony Pollard with 1. DeMarco Murray.
But that was with the 17-game schedule. And
I get it. Chris Brown had 1. Travis Henry 1. Lindell White won. DeMarco
Travis Moore. Henry, former Tennessee Vol.
Yeah, crazy. Wow. I mean, the Titans are an absolute joke right now. I mean, they are easily – I would put them up there with the Browns as the laughing stock of the NFL right now.
And the Saints. Shout out to my guy, Chase Parham, who loves him some Saints. But, like, the Saints are in a miserable cat situation. Here's the thing. Tennessee would be a perfect landing spot for Jackson Dart because, one – the room is solidified. You do have the guy that's there in Will Levis, the guy, and the guy that's going to replace him.
That is not solidified.
But a run-first offense like that, play-action quarterback Jackson Dart would be great there with weapons around him. The fact that the Titans fumbled A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Jonnu Smith. I mean, there are a number – the Jonnu Smith doesn't belong in that group. But you get what I'm saying. Like, they had a real core – and ran Ryan Tannehill out as their quarterback expecting to win. Here, Jackson Dart would fit perfectly in a spot like that. So in a quarterback class where the top names are Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, neither of those guys did anything last year to make you think that they're the obvious 1-1. So I think that the Titans could go Travis Hunter 1 and then take a Jackson Dart in the second or third to compete with a Will Levis and have a realistic opportunity to go out there and beat him like he did in Oxford, Mississippi a couple of years ago.
I hope the Titans trade down and get 2 first-round picks because I'm not super in love with the quarterbacks in this draft. I mean, I would – Cam Ward, that would be fun. I think he would be a fun NFL quarterback over Shedeur.
Over Shedeur because I haven't seen it with Shedeur. So I'm fully expecting the Cowboys to hire Deion to trade the – awful, terrible cap hit that it'll be for Dak. You know, $50 million in dead money, and they talk about the money they don't have, and then they'll just take the hit because it's Deion and draft Shedeur Sanders, and the circus rolls on. Good football. That's for other more competently ran organizations than by a senile 80-year-old. So, you know, again, don't let this fool you. I've loved the Dallas Cowboys for as long as I've been around Ole Miss sports. So, that's my entire life. You go look at my fridge right now. I'm wearing build a snowman when I'm a kid with my brother, decked out in one of them Ole Miss starter jackets and a backwards Cowboys hat. I mean, this has been, I'm a simple man. It's been pretty much the same since day one for me. I just would like to see one more Cowboys Super Bowl before I die. But I tell you what, I would much prefer to see Ole Miss make the playoff and make it to Atlanta, because this is my community. You know, so the Cowboys can't hurt me anymore. These are my people, and we thank you for joining us on Talk of Champions. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, the little house up top, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. Hey, what are you doing this week, man? We always just talk about business. Tell me, like, what's going on in Zach's world real quick? You got 30 seconds to shine. Go.
Nothing much, honestly, just work. And then this weekend, it'll be a good time for us, as the kids will go to the in-laws, and we will do our best to celebrate me taking another lap around the sun. So that'll be
happy
fun.
Birthday. Happy early birthday.
Yeah. Sorry. Humble brag. I didn't die for another year, but
that's something to celebrate.
It'll be good. 'Cause look, we had Christmas break, and then we had the snow days. And I mean, dude, I had at least 5 or 6 kids in my house for like 5 days straight, and it'll be nice to have a quiet house. And then, oh, we got Severance season 2 starting on Friday. So
congratulations. I haven't watched TV feels like in months, man. I gotta figure out something, 'cause I'm bored out of my mind. But I will say, the Lane Kiffin stuff with the Sidney Thomas RTR, and then like how Lane took that and flipped it with the picture of Nick Saban. Okay. Perfect. Nick, like, Lane Kiffin is ungettable, man. Like, he is ungettable.
First of all, how do we know she's telling the truth?
That's true.
She could have just made it up.
But even if she didn't, like, let's just assume that it is true, just because the fact that everyone came out and said it's Lane. She says it's Lane. But then Lane goes, ah, no, it's Nick Saban. Like, you can't argue with that. Like, well, you can't argue with that.
Also, they didn't.
He's hilarious.
Two things. They didn't specify which sport.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Tony Vitello still exists.
Oh, who could the other candidates be? Bruce Pearl.
He'd have to convert her.
Nah, stop yourself. But the fact that it, like, everyone immediately came out and said Lane, and she says Lane, and then Lane flips it. There is nobody like this dude. He is a king of this, man. He is so good at, like, he's the funniest coach almost will ever have, period.
My buddy Gray Hardison over at Red Cup Rebellion, he quoted your buddy Stephen Godfrey from, like, I guess years ago. He said that Lane Kiffin is the only person who grows stronger the more he uses Twitter.
Yeah.
It's my other point was, I'm pretty sure Sidney Thomas has a boyfriend. Like, how does he feel about all this? Like, I'd be kind of like,
he's making bank both on and off, bro. I think he's doing okay. But like, Lane Kiffin, the funniest is the most.
Close those DMs.
No, don't, because virality and making everything into content, everything is wrestling. What has been been a funnier or a better handled story by everyone than Lane? Like, Lane had that yesterday, the Nick Saban picture, we found out, and then it's just over. It's hilarious. He's the funniest coach Ole Miss is ever gonna have, and also putting together a pretty dang good roster for next year, even though the expectations, they're gonna be a little bit more muted than this year, still playoff contention. And they finally answered the biggest question, which was, well, what do you do at quarterback when you've got the obvious guy, next up guy already on your roster? They answered that question with the Louisville quarterback, who is a dual threat that will come in and answer more of a need for what the offense needs than necessarily coming in to try to push Austin Simmons to start. Again, I'll be back tomorrow either with Zach or somebody, maybe Bradley Sal, maybe by myself. Thank you for joining us on this edition of Talk of Champions. As always, give love and show love. Rebels Helping Rebels, RiverlandRoofing.com, Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297.
And show love to the Hoops team tonight.
Heck yeah.
Big one on the road. And then you got this weekend on the road at Mississippi State, and you got a couple big ones coming up at the SJB with, you got what, A&M, Auburn, mm-hmm. Kentucky. I mean, the Hoops team is making some noise. I mean,
currently projected as a 6 seed last I checked, according to ESPN Bracketology.
Yeah, so I was talking to somebody about this last night. Has Ole Miss ever been projected this high in the field this early in the season?
That's a great question.
Because, like, obviously Andy Kennedy had some teams that were buzzing late, but, like, this early, I mean, it's not even February.
I remember 2018-19 when they jumped out to that, like, 13-14-1 start. They were a 7 seed or something. But so that was probably 5 years ago, 6 years ago was the last time. But, yeah, these are uncharted waters, and this is a showdown of first-place teams. Only 3 undefeated teams left in the SEC as far as conference play. Ole Miss and Alabama are 2 of those teams, the other one being Auburn. So one's taking a loss tonight. It's in Tuscaloosa. Big opportunity for Ole Miss. But the bottom line is in these next 4, you go 2-2. Buddy, you're right where you need to be. The SEC has, I think, every single member – maybe one isn't, but I think every single member of the SEC is ranked in the top 100 in net ranking. Ole Miss used to think, well, if you can just get to 70 in the net, Ole Miss has every opportunity in front of it. Not one loss is going to kill you as long as you don't go get your butt kicked, especially road games, but protecting home floor. And if you can get you 1 or 2 on the road, man, you're going to be sitting pretty in this SEC, especially against Alabama, leading the nation in scoring 92 points per game. I mean, they shoot a ton of threes. You know what Alabama is. But Ole Miss, what's really been impressive about Ole Miss in this run is their defense under Chris Beard. They've held back-to-back-to-back opponents.
Smothered LSU.
Yep.
Made Arkansas look silly.
They held their three-point defense was under 30% for both games, I think, or all 3 games. You do that to Alabama, you have a real shot to win. A real shot to win, because Ole Miss is not just the little engine that could. This team is put together to go win, but they win in a different way than Alabama. Alabama's all about the scoring. Ole Miss can score, but it's about that defense. So if that defense can hold up against its toughest challenge yet from 3, Ole Miss could be really cooking with some bacon grease after a trip to Tuscaloosa on Tuesday night.
Plus 11.5.
About right.
Money line plus 500 if you want to get weird.
Tough game. I'd rather wait this one out.
Coleman's a tough place to play.
Tough.
Alabama's damn good. But, man, this is the quad one wins of all quad one wins, if you get it.
Ole Miss already has 4. 4 quad one wins. Last year had 3.
I'm pretty sure the rest of their schedule is all quad one opportunities.
Yeah, they have the toughest remaining strength of schedule in the country. They had 3 quad one wins last year. They already have 4. They are better positioned. That's a great question. They're better positioned now than they've been in quite some time at this point in the year to make the NCAA tournament and to snap that streak of going on 6 years without it. Only 9 NCAA tournament appearances in Ole Miss's 100-plus year history. So don't take for granted the history happening in front of you right now. It's not football. It's basketball. But Chris Beard's putting in work. Thank you to Zach. Thank you to you. This has been Talk of Champions. Buddy, I'll see you soon.
See you, bud.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just 1 dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study.
Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.